Let's bring in the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. And Mark, I promise you, well, you know that we didn't have this plan having you on at this particular, or we didn't plan having the Estrada stuff come out at this time. I'll just ask you, because it has not been announced yet, should we expect an announcement today about Marco Estrada signing a contract extension with the Blue Jays?
I just know you had a lot of suggestions there.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, Ross could have more to say about that later today. But I think what is most important to take away is that, you know, Marco is both a player and a person that we have tremendous respect for. He's obviously pitched and led us through some of the most important games of, you know, this era of Blue Jay baseball. Great teammate and a dependable, reliable person and player. So should we be provided later today the opportunity to bring him back, I think that would be a positive announcement for all of us and would fill, you know, certainly one of the pressing needs in the team for next year.
I'm going to philosophically, Mark, this is, in general terms, when you're dealing with a guy, negotiating with a player who's an impending free agent, who has the opportunity to take his value to the marketplace. How do you approach that? Are there some guys who are more willing? I assume there are guys more willing to do it than others, but
yeah.
I wonder about whether that's different than, you know, other types of negotiations, you know? Because it may come up with another guy in your roster this way.
Yeah, I would say every negotiation is different, both situationally and personally. Different guys place different amounts of premium on the place that they play and the people they play with and the organization they're in, coaches, staff, everybody about it. Really contract negotiations are all about the trade-off that each party are willing to make. So for a team, it could be, you know, is it a little more money than you want to pay? Is the length of term, you know, what you want it to be? And a player, you know, is doing the exact same thing, and they're each kind of weighing, you know, what is most important to, you know, to them and where are they willing to compromise and looking for the sweet spot in the compromise so they both ultimately feel good about where it ends up.
How much value do you put on what you know about, what you learn about a guy while he's in your clubhouse versus watching him play for another team, looking at his numbers, you know, doing the deep dive?
It's a great question, and it's interesting because what I've found is sometimes you penalize a guy because you know him so well, you see all his warts, and you tend to overlook them on a guy across the field that you only see, you know, 8 to 15 times a year, and you can get emotionally impacted by seeing a guy every day. So I think it's important to remind yourself, and especially when it comes to the person a guy is, the teammate a guy is, how he functions in that team environment and culture, his approach, his preparation, you know, remind yourself that the known is often extremely important, and it's the grass is not always going to be greener.
Now, Stephen and I were just talking off air, Mark, and we were looking back to some of the interviews we did with you early in the year. And I mean, it seemed that very early you were kind of cautioning people a little bit about this Blue Jays team, you know, about the fact that the team was getting a little older. You had a lot go right for you last year when you made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say that this is probably, well, no, I was gonna say this is not the kind of season you expected. I'm not necessarily gonna say that. Are you surprised though by how much happened this year? And you know, are there areas of progress that are apparent to you that may not be apparent to us? And are there areas of regression that are apparent to you that may not be apparent to us?
Well, that's such a multi-tier question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could probably fill the rest of the interview just answering that, which I don't want to just limit the exchange with you guys. So it might be best for us to attack that piece by piece, and then
okay,
we can just go
sure
back over, because you asked so many things in that question. One, this year was not outside of the range of outcomes that we might have expected. That doesn't mean we're not bitter about it. Doesn't mean we're not disappointed. I mean, I can tell you right now, if you don't watch other teams celebrate, regardless of who they are, if that doesn't create a bitterness deep inside of you that, you know, we're not doing that right now, if that doesn't create a fire and a burn to a year from now, you know, that we are doing that, then you're in the wrong line of business. So that being said, we said all along that, you know, because of our, you know, the maturity of our roster, you know, and the maybe lack of balance in that, along with a lack of upper level talent and depth, you know, due largely to trades, you know, it was a precarious position, one that we were fortunate to avoid last year and one that we were unable to avoid this year. And frankly, it's going to be, unless we can, you know, reposition the team, which it's almost impossible to do through either free agency, it's definitely impossible to do, and even trades even harder. You know, it's going to be a similar story next year. The silver lining is twofold. One, if even a couple of the seven or eight things that went wrong this year hadn't happened, if Sanch had been healthy, if Josh Donaldson had not gotten hurt, if, you know, Russell Martin had not gotten hurt, you know, if Devin Travis hadn't gotten hurt, you can go, I can keep going, by the way. But if just a couple of those, we'd be in at least a wild card mix right now. So it wouldn't have taken all seven or eight things to have not gone wrong. Just a couple, and we'd be right in the wild card mix. So that's one silver lining. And the second is an incredibly productive year of progress in our player development system, which moves the layer of talent one step closer, you know, to the major league environment. So not where we're going to have championship depth next year that we need, but, you know, where we are certainly getting closer to having the waves of talent coming that would allow us to build a sustainable championship team.
You know, I'm not sure how, you know, fans feel would hearing you say that, you know, 2018 is going to, you know, is a similar scenario to 2017.
Well, I'm not sure what the choice is there. Maybe you can let me know.
No, look, Mark. No, look, I don't disagree with you, okay? And I think that's realistic, and I think you're right that 2017 – you know, you needed a few more best case rather than worst case scenarios. But if you had them, you would be exactly where you said you'd be. You'd be there either in a wild card position or fighting for a wild card position. You don't have to, you know, you knock six blown saves off Roberto Osuna, you'd be there
exactly.
Right now.
That alone.
But,
yeah.
You know, I guess the difference between, you know, again, your job is to be realistic and maybe even a little pessimistic, I would think, in your rather than giddily optimistic. I would think that goes with being a president. But the difference between managing a team and managing expectations of a team that's in the position the Jays are right now versus, you know, looking down the road at your former team in Cleveland where, you know, that's ripe. You know, that is they are in a championship position. The convergence of homegrown talent and the kind of trades you make when you're on the verge and some free agent acquisitions, like that's when you kind of hit the sweet spot in the script. You guys are in a different place. You know, I wonder from your point of view how that is different, running a team.
One's how you want to do it and one is not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you know, but you don't have a choice, right? You like,
right. I mean, yeah, and I think that's just the fact. I mean, it is what it is, and your job is to not make excuses. Your job is to manage through it. Your job is to figure out a way to put yourself in the best possible position to win now with what's in place, and at the same time to spend an enormous amount of energy with a lot of urgency to build the foundation of a sustainable winner. And that involves, you know, obsessing about infusing talent through the amateur draft, led by Steve Sanders and Tony LaCava, which I think this year was an exceptional year, followed up on a good year last year, by Andrew Tinnish, you know, scouring the international market and infusing talent there, and by, you know, Ben Sherrington, Gil Kim, and Eric Wedge leading a player development system that maximizes the development of those players and helping them achieve their potential mentally, physically, and fundamentally. So, it's interesting because the nature of professional sports and Major League Baseball in particular is that people just focus their energy on the tip of the sword, which is certainly where they should. But the bulk of our effort right now is like that duck under the water, is being spent on really obsessively focusing on the foundation. And at the same time, you know, our job is to do everything humanly possible to give ourselves a chance to win up here, because we owe that to our fans.
Is it safe to say, Mark, that you talked about the maturity of the roster, a lack of balance? Is it safe to say that as you go into this offseason, getting more youthful, getting more balanced is a priority for the organization at the major league level?
I guess I'm fatiguing of that statement a little bit, because
okay.
It's such an obvious one,
Right.
And there's no button to push to get youthful and more balanced. We're just trying to build a team and an organization the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven probably characterized it that we would look much different on the field if we could ideally build it. But you can't just flip a switch and say, we could flip a switch and get younger, but we might not get better, right? So
yep.
We need championship players. We need players that have the talent to win games deep into October and win the last game played. Certainly, we'd like to be more balanced, more athletic, and younger, but that's a process. So we have, like I've always mentioned to you, there's a duality of the job right now. One is to do the best we can with the circumstances here and a lot of super players that we think can still provide the foundation to win with some better fortune next year. And the other is to build the model that you guys are referring to.
The only way you get younger, it seems to me, Mark, is bringing your own guys along. When we're in spring training next year, do you expect a couple of guys to be beating down the doors? You're going to have presumably at least one corner outfield position to fill. You might have two.
Yeah.
We've seen Tay Hernandez. We saw a little bit of Anthony Alford this year. Dalton Pompey, unfortunately, had another injury-marred season. Not sure what's going to happen at second base with Devin Travis and his health.
Yeah.
But do you think that you'll be able to, because that's where the transition's going to come, isn't it, in positions
yeah.
like that?
I think we're going to be feeling a lot better about our depth, largely the three outfielders you just mentioned. A lot of the bullpen guys you've seen this year, starters like Ryan Barucki, who are going to start to kind of come on the scene a little bit. So I think we're going to be better, but I obviously feel that where the depth of talent lies is still A ball down, and hopefully next year double A down.
Hmm. Mark, the fans have seen Edwin leave after last season. Jose Bautista possibly likely will leave after this season. And knowing how much public sensitivity you've shown when it comes to attendance and TV ratings, and I mean that positively, and plus Josh Donaldson's strong end of season, are we getting to the point where signing Josh to a multi-year contract this winter, almost becomes an article of faith with Blue Jays fans, or do you think the fan base has been awakened enough that the support goes deeper than loyalty to a particular player?
Well, I think not winning tests the faith of fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this multiple times, it's hard to say there's a scenario where we're a better team without Josh Donaldson. Can you say that for how many years can you say that for? I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
again, the job is about building, a championship team, and team is the word. It's not about just collecting talent or one player. It's hard for me to imagine a scenario that Josh isn't a part of a championship team here, but I think Ross and our baseball operations staff will kind of walk through all those scenarios, and it's an almost certainty that he'll be back here next year, and beyond that, those are things that we're going to have, much like we started this conversation, mm-hmm. as we talked about Marco, it's going to have to be in the best interest of both parties and see if that fits.
Mark, how different is managing and building this team in an environment where you have a full stadium, very and still solid TV numbers in a disappointing year, and a corporate owner that is invested in both of those things, versus kind of doing it in some kind of imaginary vacuum where you could just do whatever the heck you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a factor. As I've said before, it's not an intellectual exercise. We're not just building in a vacuum. If it was, I think we probably would be considering very different decisions than we've made over the past 6 months, maybe even years. So it's not necessarily, looking at things like, just attendance or just ratings. It's really thinking about the recent history of the franchise. It's thinking about energizing not just this city, but the entire country, what that's meant to baseball in Canada and baseball in Toronto. And it's understanding that while we have had an incredible covenant with our fans, it may not be built on such a strong foundation that it can sustain, you know, a violent pullback from, you know, the attempt to contend. So it's a balancing act, and at some point we may not objectively feel that we can follow through or you know, have a real chance to win, and then we have to probably move more aggressively in another direction. We've said that from day one, and I think what we've tried to do is, you know, try to narrow, if there is a gap between the next generation of championship baseball and this one, have it be as short as possible, and if at all possible, have there not be one.
Is there a risk, a danger, Mike, I may be the wrong word here, but in pandering to a fan base? Yeah, like, I know bums in seats and people watching TV, that's the business you're in, right? That's, you know, winning games is in order to make those other things happen, but again, it seems to me you're walking a bit of a tightrope here.
Every time those kind of questions are put up, I'm not sure the options are thoroughly understood by the people that are asking them, because, you know, I don't think it's pandering at all. I think there's, you know, over 3 million people coming through the gates here that are passionate about the Blue Jays, and they're passionate about the success they've seen over the last 2 years or year and a half. And, you know, I just think a decision to do anything other than, you know, strive to give them a team to cheer for should not be taken lightly. And, you know, I've been through the alternative. It's not the 500 seasons that, you know, you experienced here. It's, you know, it's going through a violent, you know, turnaround in order to try to build a championship team back. It's not the only way to go. And I feel like we've been able to make so much progress over the last 18 months in our farm system, and in the progress we've made. I mean, subjectively gone from 24th to 9th, you know, based on, you know, Baseball America and MLB.com and other sources, that, you know, we're moving in the right direction, Steven. So I'm not pandering, just trying to do the right thing for the fans here.
Mark, what would have to happen for either Vlad Jr. or Bo Bichette to be with the Blue Jays next season? Because there are some people out there, some commentators out there, Keith Law and other people who said, hey, Vladdy could come real quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think back to when, you know, we had Manny Ramirez coming up with the Indians, which just basically says that I'm older than dirt, that I remember that. but, you know, there are certain players, generational type of players, and I'm not saying either one of those guys are those guys that just make decisions for you. You guys have heard me say that over and over again. But if we're having to debate whether they should be here, they will not be here. They will not be here. If, you know, they go to AA next year and, you know, absolutely, you know, demolish that league, one or both, then they'll move to AAA. And if they go to AAA and demolish that league, and there's both a need here as well as, you know, an opportunity, then I think they would enter in the conversation up here. Does that take, you know, a half a year next year? Does that take 2 years? Does that take 1.5 years, 3 years? I'm not sure. But they're obviously special talents that had absolutely incredible seasons, you know, among the best in all of professional baseball. And I think we all should be excited about that and not feel hesitant to talk about it.
How much of a concern was Roberto Osuna's second half for you? And do you feel any differently about him at this point? Will you feel any differently about him this offseason than you did last offseason?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that this is a young pitcher that, you know, bore an incredible burden over 2 years and pitched late into October, not just a lot of appearances and a lot of innings, but high stress, high leverage on the biggest stages in baseball, and that it is natural to have some level of regression or fatigue. He's already proven he's got the toughness, you know, the makeup, and the personality to handle that role and to handle the adversity that comes with it. So we're not going to approach it any differently. I think the most important thing for him to do this offseason is to focus on his conditioning and, you know, come into camp having both rested his arm and conditioned his body in position to, you know, to handle that role next year once again, hopefully with some of the downtime this year, do it in a way that, you know, carries this team to a championship.
Mark, then we will be having many of these same conversations next spring in Dunedin. And it's just thinking about that, I have to ask you a little bit about what's happening with the spring training facility. Obviously, you know, we were talking about this a year ago. And there have been kind of continuing talks with the local politicians there. In the meantime, they had a hurricane, which kind of knocked the stuffing out of Florida, and especially in that part of Florida. Where are you guys now in terms of securing the Jays spring training home for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit nervous when the hurricanes were coming, just because I actually lived through Andrew and what that meant to the Indians, and never went back to Homestead. Basically, we're kind of searching for a home for 15 years after that. I've been incredibly pleased and appreciative of the response of Pinellas County and the city of Dunedin, Pinellas in particular, because, you know, we did not initiate conversations to get out of sensitivity. And, you know, they reached back out to us. Again, as you said earlier, the president's job is to kind of, to some extent, be pessimistic. I feel very optimistic that we're going to move towards completion of a deal before year end, and that, you know, we'll be working towards plans and concrete, you know, renovation of, you know, massive renovation of our spring training situation and facility, which really ultimately moves it from spring training to a state-of-the-art training and rehabilitation, you know, center for the Toronto Blue Jays, a 365-day-a-year, you know, home for us to not only train our players but to gain a competitive advantage.
Mark, listen, we really appreciate you joining us today, as always. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys, my pleasure. Take care.